Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Morning. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, they say. Welcome, you guys. Good to see you this morning. Welcome to Real Life Coeur d'Alene. My name is Blake Whiteman, campus pastor here. If we haven't met, good to see you. Glad you guys are here this morning. It's going to be a good message, I believe, but you'll have to decide that for yourselves. So that's up to you. So if you want to pay attention, you can. If not, that's also up to you. Lots of choices this morning. Lots of choices. With that in mind, I need some information from you guys. This is like a Christmas assessment, Christmas survey, if you will. Maybe something to that effect. So can you help me out this morning? I got some questions for you. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Wow, one yes over here. You're going to have to be better than that. Here we go, okay? It'll be good. So just by a raise of hands, that's all you have to do. Just raise your hand if you believe this is true. So which of you out there prefer a real Christmas tree? Real Christmas tree, okay? Okay. Which of you prefer a fake Christmas tree? Okay. Good. It's good. You did good so far. How many of you out there like the simple white-only Christmas lights? Oh, okay. How many of you like the color? Got to give me the color. Mixed color, some color. Okay, good. Okay, last one. How many of you are eggnog people? Whoa, hey, this was raise your hand only. Okay, no. I got some eggnog people. Okay. Who likes apple cider? Like the hot apple cider? Oh, yes. And lastly, with the same question there, let me see the hot chocolate fans out there for Christmas. Okay. Hey, dude, good. That's fantastic participation this morning. If you weren't thinking about things like that, well, now you are. So hopefully that's a good thing. But it is Christmas time. As Andrew led in the worship team, we are heading towards celebrating Jesus the Christ, his birth. That's what Christmas is about. It's Christmas season, Advent season. It's also a season in our church where the series we're talking about is Christmas, and we're calling that series Make Room. The reason why we're calling it Make Room is we believe that as we read God's word, the Bible, not only just in the Christmas story, but its entirety, is that God, based on who he is, has made room for us in creation, in life, in this world that we live in. God has made room for us to be a part of it in what is true. But he has also asked that we would, in return, make room for him. That we would recognize who he is. That we would choose to believe that his word is true. That the Bible is true. That the story about Christmas is true, not what you watch on TV. And that we would choose to make room for God in our lives. And how we would do that and when we would do that and what that looks like. We're going to draw that from the Christmas story in this series. That's what we're doing. Last week, we started it off. And Jim from Post Falls talked about God's perspective. And he reminded us that our natural perspective is not God's perspective. Now, we don't wake up in the morning and automatically choose to have God's perspective. Now, over time, we can. As we learn his word, we understand who he is and his character. We can choose to have the mind of Christ, is what Paul says later in the New Testament. But we have different perspectives, right? There's God's perspective, there's our perspective. Sometimes there's just different perspectives between people. Well, that thread is going to kind of run through today. But this week, we're talking about peace. Oh, peace, right? That's a very Christmas time concept, right? Idea. Everybody likes, wants, desires peace, right? I want peace in my life. Now, that's not an easy thing to obtain, but peace is something that God promises we can have if we indeed believe what God says is true about peace and the way that we can obtain it. And so we're going to talk about peace this morning, and we're going to talk about peace from the Christmas story. That's what I love about God's word, is that it's true, it's living, it's active, it's applicable to us in all times, but he can say multiple things to us in different circumstances. So we're going to look at just a portion of the Christmas story this morning, and we're going to pull peace out of that story as we look at it. But here's what I'm going to need you to do this morning as we jump into it, right? Is that every day and every weekend, every time you come to church, listen to a podcast, see something on social media, you have the ability to choose to make a choice. It's one of the wonderful things about God's creation is that you get to choose all the time. You get to make decisions every day. As long as God allows you to, you get to have choice. Which means other people get to make choices too, right? You're not the only one that gets to make choice. But you have a choice, and this morning I hope that with that decision, you will choose to look at God's word and believe that it's applicable to you. That the story means something to you, that God's word is going to choose to say something to you this morning. Would you choose to receive it and hear it? Will you see it this morning as we read about it? That's a choice that's yours. So we're gonna pick up in the Christmas story, right? This is Luke chapter 2. The beginning of Luke talks about how there was a census and that there was a bunch of stuff going on, and this nice young woman named Mary was told that she was going to be with child and it was going to be Jesus, the Messiah. And then she had a husband and it didn't make any sense and it's kind of crazy so far. But where we find ourselves is that they've taken off because of the census. They've ended up in Bethlehem. There's no room for them. Yet they have had child. They have birthed Jesus. Jesus has been born. And he was like in a palace, right? In the penthouse. It's not what it says. It says that he was born in this piece right here, right? Born in a manger. That's the story so far that we've seen. And we're gonna pick up from there, and we're gonna look at a specific group of people as we carry on. That's gonna be the shepherds, the lowly shepherds that are not recognized, that are not in a position of authority or prestige, that are not people that are coveted for the job that they have. They are considered the lowly, the least, kind of the outcast, if you will, of the society at the time. That's going to be the people that we're going to look at in the story, see how God uses them. And we're going to try to find in there what is God saying to you and what is true about you in the story. Okay, here we go. Luke chapter 2, picking up in verse 8. We're going to read God's word, and then we're going to talk about it. Here we go. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Terrified. It says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them, they'd gone into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and let's see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off. They found Mary. They found Joseph. They found the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things, pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told about. It's the next section of our Christmas story. So we got a lot going on there. You have the shepherds, you have the angels, God is speaking to the shepherds through the angels, right? And there's the shepherd's decision on what they're gonna do and then what happens when they do, and then there's the result of it. There's a whole bunch of pieces that come in there. But right in the middle, verse 14, very subtle, very short, it says that word peace that we're talking about. On earth, peace to them who his favor rests. So we have one small insertion in there, but massive application and implications. And so we're gonna look at it. Here's three things that we're gonna talk about from this story about peace. Number one, peace comes from God. Peace comes from God. Nowhere else, but peace comes from God. Number two, that peace that God gives, we can have when we see from God's perspective and we choose to believe that his promises are true. We choose to believe that what he says is true. We can see what he sees, and then we can have that peace. God's perspective and our perspective, they're different, as we talked about last week. Doesn't always make sense, but God's perspective allows us to have peace. And then lastly, we're gonna see that peace has a price, costs us something to obtain that peace. We're gonna talk about those three points. So right out of the gate, we're gonna see that peace comes from God, and peace is to whom in this story? What do they say? Those who have God's favor. So does that mean everybody? Not everybody. It means not everybody. Because would you agree that God's favor is not on every single person that there is? It's not true. So then whose favor is God's favor on? Who has that? Who doesn't? What does that mean? If you look at Isaiah 66, verse 2, he's speaking through Isaiah, God is, and he says, here is who my favor rests on. Those who are humble, are contrite in spirit, and those who tremble at my word. Those are who God has favor upon. So if we were to break that down, humble and contrite spirit speaks of our countenance. It speaks of who we are. People that embody who God is, that care about what he cares about, that not only hear it, but strive to live it, that are humble and contrite in spirit, those are receiving who God is. Those people, God says, ah, I have favor with you. Thank you. But also, those that what? Tremble at his word. There's a fear of God there. There's a reverence there that believes that who God is who he says he is, and what he says has significance, and that matters, and that has implications on who I am and what I do with my life and what I believe. I take that seriously, and therefore I live accordingly. So those people that believe and trust in God and what he says is true, his promises, and make a decision to live for him are the people that God says his favor rests upon. Do you see that in there? And those who have favor from God will experience what? His peace. See how those pieces connect there? And so right in the middle of this Christmas story, the angels show up, the heavenly hosts show up, Jesus is gonna be born, he's gonna be a Messiah, it's kind of a weird story. He's using some different people, but right in there they say, peace is going to be on those whom God's favor rests. It's kind of just a short interjection in there, but it has massive significance. So let's talk about the shepherds now when we look at the story and how this part plays out. But I want to talk one more piece about what God is when it comes to giving us peace, because peace comes from God, nowhere else. We're going to see Philippians 4 says the same thing. Philippians 4, 7 says that the peace of God transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. So it's the peace of God, not the peace of Andrew or the peace of Blake or the peace of whatever. There's a difference between a peace that God offers and a peace that's anything from God, right? And so if we were to contrast the two, we would see that God says a peace comes from him and it looks a certain way. We're gonna talk about it. And then there's kind of every other kind of peace. That would be what I would call my own peace, right? Peace that I try to obtain from any other means besides God. So I ask myself the question, is there a peace that we can have that doesn't come from God? What do you think? Is there peace that we can have that doesn't come from God? I would say right away we'd go, well, of course not. Of course there's not. That's a Bible answer. Oh, there's not. Nope, there's not. But what does that mean? I think that we would probably say, no, there's no peace without God, but there's times when I feel like maybe I can make myself have peace if I do or believe or have certain things. Because what the world's gonna tell you, your jobs, your relationships potentially, what social media says, what the news says, what the culture says, what the masses say, the world that we live in is gonna say, there's tons of ways where you can get peace. Oh, trust me, there's a lot of ways that you can have peace. Just $12.99 a month, and I'll let you know how. Right? Now, there's a lot of different ways. That's what the world's gonna tell you. That's what the business is gonna tell you. Yeah, you can have peace, get this, do that, be this, find that, all these different things, and then you'll have peace. Once you just have and get and do these things. I think if I'm being honest, it's not just the world that's trying to impress that upon me. It's not just other people that are trying to convince me that that's true. I think if I'm being honest, I find that I myself are trying to convince myself that that's true. I think that I make myself promises of peace that are just not real. I find myself in the ruts that we kind of get in. Jim talked about it last week, just kind of the seasons or rhythms or whatever, the expectations that we have, that I have on myself that are just put upon me, that I go, well, if I just have her do these things, or if this happens or these things happen or whatever, then I'll have peace. But I think there's a lot of empty promises that I give myself versus the promises that God offers for us. Do you see the difference between a peace that God offers and a peace that we offer? Well, let's talk about it, because I need help breaking it down to understand what that means. So God says his favor rests on those who are humble, contrite in spirit, and that tremble at his word. This is funny. I was thinking about this. I always try to make everything as practical as possible all the time. So God's our father, right? He is a father figure. We're his children. And so I am a father. I have children. And I think of my kids when I say something to them, right? My words, I say something to them. Are they trembling at the words that I say and act in humility and have a contrite spirit? Because when they do, guess what I do with that? I have favor on them. I like that. When they don't listen, they don't care. They're like, whatever, I'm going to do my own thing. They're not humble. They're not contrite when they listen to their father, right? I don't have favor on that. That's not favorable for me as a father. And so it makes sense to me that how God says those that are acting according to his will and listen to what he says, he has favor on them. That makes sense to me. And those on whom God's favor rests, they have what? Peace. That's true about me in my life, whether it's with my parents or my kids as well. Because when my kids act accordingly and they believe that and they trust me, guess what? There's peace between us. When they're not like that, there's not peace between us. So I can see how that makes sense. When we listen, we trust, and we act accordingly. So God says we have peace. So there's a difference between God's peace and my own peace. If you look at the Philippians verse, it says right there that God's peace is something that transcends understanding and guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, what about peace that I try to make? And this is where I'm going to ask you to think about you this morning. Are there ways, are there reasons, are there promises, are there these solutions and these ideas that you think are going to give you peace? And maybe you haven't thought about that. Maybe this is a first chance for you to think about that this morning. But as we talk about this, I want you to think, what are the things that I'm trusting in that I think are gonna bring me peace? Is it God or is it something else? Because getting God's peace is trusting in his promises, not your own, not somebody else's, not what the world says, but what God says. Then we get his perspective, then we can have his peace. So here's a couple things this morning. I try to convince myself that I can have peace if I have prosperity. If I have prosperity, then I will have peace. If we can prosper, if we can get more, if I can get more, have more, do more, if what I'm about prospers, oh, then I'll have peace. But until then, I don't have it. And more often than not, it's the opposite of that. It's not, once I have more, I'll feel better. It's, I don't have enough right now, and I don't have peace. I'm not at ease because I don't have enough. I don't have as much money as I want. I don't have as much likes as I want. I don't have as many things as I want. And I don't have peace because I don't have enough. But the lie, the promise that I tell myself is that all you have to do is get enough, then you'll have peace. Peace from prosperity. Sometimes I'll convince myself that I will have peace when I have power. Power meaning control. Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. All right, if I can control it, then I'll have peace. Because when it's out of control and I can't manipulate it and I'm not sure what's gonna happen, or if I don't know what the outcome's gonna be, then there's definitely no peace in that, is there? Because I'm not sure. I don't understand. I'm not in control. I can't guarantee that it's gonna be okay. If I can guarantee that it can be okay, ooh, then I can have peace. But again, the reality is I'm not in control and I can't control it. And I don't know how it's gonna end up. Whether that's a relationship, whether that's finances, whether that's a schedule, a son or daughter, a friend, Christmas, any of those things, I can't actually fully control that. I may think I can and convince myself that I can, but the reality is I can't. And having that control is not going to give me peace. Because guess what happens when I actually get that control? I want more control, and I want more things, and I want more stuff. And in the absence of that, guess what? Is not peace. It's pressure. It's anxiety. It's worry. It's fear. It's all those things that well up in reality, but yet somehow I can continue to promise myself, just get a little bit more, just have a little bit more, then I'll be okay. It's false. It's a fake peace. It's not true. Sometimes I convince myself that peace will be mine to have when I feel it. I feel like it. I enjoy it. I want it, whatever it may be. Peace when I have pleasure. So pleasure would be, I like this. I love this job. I love these friends. I love my financial situation. I love my house. I feel it. I love it. It's good. It's a feeling. It's an emotion. And when I have it, oh, I can rest easy because I have peace in my heart. Well, not only do those things usually not all add up like that, and if they do, it's but for a second. But the reality is, peace is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not something that I can obtain and not only have when I feel like it, when all the things add up so that inside I go, ah, it's so great right now. So when I'm happy, I have peace. Peace and happiness are not synonymous. Those are two different things. And so what ends up happening is I go, well, I'm not happy, so I don't have peace. So then therefore, I have a good solution. I'm gonna do whatever I want to make me happy so that I'll have peace. It's a pretty simple solution, at least in my mind. And more often than not, when there's not very much happiness, that's usually a direct result of not having much peace. When there's anxiousness, when I'm not sure, when things aren't going the way I want, then it's like, well, I know the first immediate reaction, do whatever I can to be happy. And as soon as I'm happy, then I'll have peace. That is a terrible downward spiral of two lies that just compete with one another. Back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. The next thing I know, I have no peace, no happiness, and I'm still believing a lie that's not true. Whether it's power, whether it's prosperity, I think sometimes it's actually a combination of a couple different things. I'm going to throw them all together here. Peace if I perform. It's peace if I am perfect. And it's peace with purpose. In any combination of those, I don't know exactly where the sentence ends and begins, but I think for me personally, all those things are kind of knotted together in some sort of a weird combination that I try to convince myself. That I promise myself if I just do better, that's that performance piece, right? Man, if I could just do this, if we could get this much attention with the stuff we're doing at the church, and man, I wanna have the best workout time over that. If I could just perform, if I could just be better and do better, then man, I would feel better about myself. And if I feel better about what it is that I can offer, then maybe I'll have peace on the inside based on what I produce on the outside. And it's a series of lies, and it's a series of traps, and it's a series of a downward spiral, but every single one of them has the same thing in common. It is a promise that I make for me. It is a self-built, self-taught, self-worth, self-controlled peace that I fabricate based on what I have, what I get, what I can do, what I can keep, and what I can get other people to think about me. And none of those is the purpose and the identity that God says we're to have, which is why that is not the peace of God. And it'll never add up to the peace of God because it's something that we provide for ourselves and it's not something that comes from him. Because that's point number one, remember? The only peace that is a real peace is peace that comes from God. Philippians 4 says that the peace of God transcends all understanding, transcends it, surpasses it, goes through it, goes all the way around. It doesn't matter. The peace that I try to fabricate for myself when it comes to circumstances and understanding, that peace demands understanding. For me to have peace, I want to know how it's going to happen, where it's going to go, when are we arriving, is it going to be good, are you going to be okay, am I going to be okay, how much is this going to cost? Is it really going to work out? Does he like me? What if they don't like it? If I don't understand all the things, where and when and why and how, and I don't see it yet, then guess what? There's no peace in me. There's anxiety. Because all along the way, I'm inserting myself. I got to do this. I got to figure that out. I got to control this thing. I better do better here. It's me, 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 mine, mine, mine. That's not peace. That is not peace. That's pressure. It's anxiety. It's everything but what God says it's to be. Further on in that Philippians verse, he says that it transcends all understanding, circumstances, why, when, how. It's not in the absence of it, it's in it. And he says that God's peace guards what? My heart and my mind in Christ. My heart and my mind. See, what God's peace does for us is it protects the pieces of us that truly give us peace. Feel it in my heart. Can actually think it and understand it. God's peace protects that. All those self-made, fabricated lies that I tell myself that I can have for peace, all those protect is me and my stuff, which is fleeting, which will be gone tomorrow, which has no actual foundation to keep me firm at all. Those things are going to be here today, gone tomorrow, striving and not fulfilling. But God's peace protects us here and here. So, that all sounds nice, but does it actually come from the Word? That would be a question you should always ask yourself. I think that all those principles apply in God's Word and even in this story. So we're gonna go back and we're gonna look at the story and we're gonna look at it through the eyes of the shepherds and we're gonna see how did they handle this situation and how do they receive God's peace according to what we just talked about. How they did or how they didn't. And because you all signed up and promised, you signed a waiver on the way in, you're gonna think about yourself in the story, right? That's why you came today. That's why you came here, is to hear this and go, what does this mean for me? How does this affect me? Where am I at? How am I living? What am I thinking? That's why you came. That's why you're here. So we're gonna do that now, because I wanna give you what you came for. Deal? Okay. Luke 2, the shepherds, when the angel appeared to the shepherds, what were they doing? They're watching their sheep, right? On the hillside. Remember, our shepherds, they're lowly. They don't have that position, that power, that performance. That is not considered them in the culture that they're in. They're watching their sheep on the hillside, right? So God came to the shepherds, not the CEOs. So he shows up. They're there doing their job. They're working. It's their livelihood. It's their sustenance. It's what they have. It's their stuff. You could say that it's their identity. It's the world that they live in. And God shows up, right? How does God show up? Angel. Boom, angel of the Lord appears. I would imagine that would be suddenly that the angel of the Lord appears. Do you think that the shepherds were ready for that? Were they anticipating it? Did they have all of their sheep in a row? It's a bad pun, but I think it works. Right? Was everything ready? Did they have their under shepherds ready to take over if they had to go? Was everything in order? Their money and finances and schedule was just perfect, and they had all their plans made and their calendars were checked and they were ready and they were just saying, God, whenever you want to show up, we're ready. Do you think that's the situation they were in? I don't. I don't think that that's how it was. I think that they were like you and I, and they were going about the business that was before them. They were doing their job. They were taking care of what needs to get taken care of. They were making ends meet, right? They were working with their hands, doing their job with their sheep. God showed up. They didn't expect it. Do you expect it when God shows up? Are you only willing to hear from God when you're ready? Are you only willing to consider God's perspective when you see it coming? When you have everything in order? Only, well, when this happens, then I'll listen. When all these things are in order, then I'll listen, God. When everything works out just right, then I'm ready to hear from you. I don't see that here. I see them going about their business, and then God decided to show up. When God shows up, he tells them through the angels, pretty good news, right? Hey, angel appeared, and then eventually with a host of heavenly around them, so like one and then awesome choir, if you will. What do they tell him? Listen,
the Messiah is going to be born. Jesus is going to be born, a baby in a manger. Do you think that made any sense when they heard that? They're like, wow, angel, God, yes. Wait, what? And it's like, you got to bear with me, you guys. I can't help but be like the way that I am, okay, unless I'm not. Right? So here's how I see it. It's like the angels show up and the shepherds are there, and it's like, the God is going to be born, the Messiah with us. And they're like, yes. And they're like, here's a sign for you. It's going to be a baby in a barn. And I bet the shepherds are like, right. Right, yeah, but baby, and they're like, cool, God, like, that's totally what we expected you would say to us. Like, not at all, right? Like, probably not even close. They had heard about the Messiah. They had heard that God was going to come save them, but they had not heard anything like what they had just heard from God. They were still limited in their own perspective, but yet God showed up and revealed truth to them. Do you think they got it right away? No. They had an experience with God where God spoke clearly. He told them that Jesus, the Messiah, was going to be born. And they had to make a decision whether they thought that that was true or not. Are you following me this morning? Are you seeing where they're at? Are you seeing yourself in this picture going, wait a minute, God has clearly spoken to me this morning through his word and through other people, and there's been a lot of times where it didn't make sense to me right away. There's a lot of times where I didn't see what was coming. Wait a minute, do I have to understand it before I believe it? Because they surely didn't. Let's keep going. So they're like, okay. That shows up and the angels take off and they go, we should go see the thing that God said. And so what they say, let's go see the thing that he told us about. It's a pretty simple decision. And they choose, because it's nearby, it says they hurried off, right? And they went and found Mary and Joseph. So they're like, okay, not really sure, but God spoke. We're gonna choose to believe it's true. Like, let's go. And right then, they had to make a decision. What are they leaving? Their sheep and their livelihood, right? Do you think that's risky? Do you think that requires something from them? Totally. Now, we don't know exactly what happens in the story, and I think there's two options, and either one play. Just depends on which one hits you more this morning. You can decide. They may have to have left all their stuff behind. Their job, their stuff, their sheep, their security. Who's going to watch them? I don't know. But they decided to say, the thing that God showed me, which I don't fully understand yet, we're going. We got to leave the sheep, right? Or they're like, well, God showed me a true thing. I guess I'm taking all my life with me, and we're gonna go see Mary and Joseph, and here we go. And they take all their sheep with them. And they take a whole bunch of sheep, and they're like, come on, job, and come on, stuff. We're going to go see Jesus together, and we're going to go find it. I don't know which one it is, but you can see how there's implications both ways. If they leave it all behind, that's risk to go follow what God says is true. If they take it with them, sometimes it's like where Jesus says, you need to leave it behind. I'm not asking you to bring all your stuff with me. I'm just asking you to come be with me. I don't know which way it went, but they had to make a decision, right? And I'm wondering, what do you think? What do you think they expected was going to happen when they got there? Like, how do you think they were to be received? Like, do you think that they were like, oh man, they're going to be mad? Maybe they're going to be super happy and excited. Like, I wonder what Mary and Joseph are going to do, right? When I think this way, this is me being honest with you this morning. If I put the pieces together and go, well, God said something to me, it's true. I'm going to choose to believe and act on it. If I'm going to go do that, I mean, there better be a party when I get there. I better be celebrated. People better clap and go, you are so awesome. You have done what God told you to do. You are the greatest thing ever. That's where I tend to go. It's just me, maybe not you this morning. So if I'm the shepherds in this situation, they're cruising up, either a bunch of sheep or none, and they're like, hey, we're the shepherds, right? Well, who are the shepherds? Just the random kind of nobody people that are out. It's not like the king's coming to town. These are the shepherds. And Mary and Joseph, like, who knows how they respond? Did Mary and Joseph know that the shepherds were going to come meet them? No. So Mary and Joseph, with brand new baby Jesus in the manger, are probably like, hey, shepherds, what's going on? Like, why are you here? Now, if that's me, When I do something that I believe God's showing me to do and I show up and I gotta have a conversation with somebody, I gotta make that phone call, I gotta make that hard decision, I gotta get up early, I gotta read. As soon as that happens, I want it to be perfect and awesome and feel it and amazing and I'm there and it's good because I'm following God, right? But oh my goodness, more often than not, my experience is how the shepherds was. I made the decision, I fought through it, I left things, it was hard. God, here I am. Nobody cares, right? Like, hey, thanks for calling me. Hey, thanks for upending your whole schedule to do something. Hey, way to get up in the morning. Like, there's no angels in my living room when I get up early to read the Bible that are like, yeah, yes. Like, that doesn't happen. But is that why they did it? No. But here's what I'm trying to say this morning. When we choose to believe that and follow and go like the shepherds, there isn't always a celebration. There's not always a parade. People aren't waiting for you. They're not going to be clapping and applauding because you did the thing that God said was going to happen. You know what I'm saying? They go. What happens? What happens? It says that they find Jesus. He is there. And they get to tell Mary and whoever else is there the good news about what God told them about who Jesus is. There was joy. There was celebration. It says that Mary herself, the mother of Jesus, heard what the shepherds had to say because they came. She took it. She treasured it in her heart. And then what happened with the shepherds? They left and they were praising God and celebrating what was true because I think they gained God's perspective in doing what he asked them to do, and then they gained his peace by trusting in his promise. But they didn't have his perspective until they went. And they didn't be able to have his perspective until they believed that what he said was true in the first place. And they got to go back and they're celebrating and they got to be used by God and other people were blessed by it and had joy and God was glorified and they had peace and purpose because they trusted in God's promise and saw his perspective. Now, just because it's true and I have to, let's say that they left their sheep when they went to have this experience. And they do all these things and it's awesome and it's great and God uses them and Mary gets blessed and they're blessed and it's awesome. Guess where they still have to go back to? The sheep. And my guess is if they did leave them there, they might not all be there when they get back, which is not good. But here's what's also true about their story, which is potentially true about yours. I know it is about mine. Sometimes I'm willing to trust God and it's hard. And I go and I'm not sure. And he shows up and it's amazing. And then what? I gotta go back to where I came from. I gotta wake up the next day. I gotta go to work the next day. I gotta sit in front of the people that I do life with every day in my family and in relationship. And sometimes when you have to sacrifice a little bit to follow God, guess what you come back to? It's not great. And sometimes it's actually worse. Are you following me? They can go back and it's like, oh, well, I guess here I am again. Yes. But that's not why we're doing it. Because if your peace comes from your prosperity and your building and your stuff and all that, you're gonna have to choose, just like the shepherds did. Remember, we talked about choice when you came in here. You get to make a choice all the time. So lastly, do you see that peace has a price? Do you see that it costs the shepherd something to choose to leave, to choose to go? Not only monetarily and positionally, but it also cost them their time. It also cost them their emotional energy to believe that what God said is true is actually true when I don't see it yet. Like, that costs you something. To choose to believe, to choose to go, to choose to embrace it, to choose to be used. And they did, right? But please hear this morning. There were so many reasons before God used them for them to quit, for them to not go. Could you imagine with a couple of your shepherd buddies in the dark hustling off to find Mary and Joseph going, man, they don't even know who we are. They don't even know what you're using me for. I just left my sheep, probably gonna lose them all. I'm gonna show up. I don't even know what to say. This is what God told me, but I'm not really sure if that's true or not. I know that he says it's true, but I don't really think it's gonna happen. Let's just turn around and go home. Let's not see it through. There's so many opportunities for them to quit. And there's so many opportunities for you to quit. Peace has a price. It's faith, it's trust, it's taking that step, it's rearranging that schedule, it's making that phone call, it's asking for help. That's gonna cost you something. But what the promise is that if you're willing to do it, God will offer you his peace. They're gonna pass out communion here in just a minute, but here's what I want you to know when we talk about peace having a price. Yes, it's gonna cost you time. Yes, it'll cost you trust and hope. Yes, it's gonna cost you the ability to say, oh, I gotta choose to do this. You might get ridiculed for it. You might get flack for it. You might have to change a schedule and do some things for it. It's gonna cost you something, right? You should do all those things. Those are good things for you. God promises to be with you in the midst of all those things. You will gain his peace if you do that. But you need to hear this morning. There's nothing you can do to pay the ultimate price for peace. It's not possible. You can't do it. You can't try harder. You can't be better. You can't trust and hope and faith in God enough for that to be done. Here's why. The reality is of the relationship between us and God, that gap between us, that relational distance between us, that price is too great for you to pay. For the wages of sin is death. But here's the good news. And the good news is part of the Christmas story, if you choose to see it that way, is that that price has been paid. That price has been paid by Jesus. That price has been paid by the one that the angel said was gonna appear, that was gonna be born in the manger to Mary and Joseph, the one that was gonna be King of Kings, Lord and Savior of the earth, that was gonna bring joy to all the people. That price has been paid by Jesus because he was the one that can and has paid it for us. And that is good news. But we have to recognize that that is a price that needs to be paid and that you cannot pay it on your own. Jesus has paid it and it is free and he offers it to us. That, I think, is the best Christmas present we can celebrate this year if we choose to do so. But in order to do so, we need God's perspective to believe in God's promise and not our own. And that's a choice you get to make.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.